All right, so let's paint a picture here, right? Imagine you're helping, I don't know, maybe your grandma move into a nursing home.
Okay.
And as we all know, there's always like mountains of paperwork, and you're kind of helping her sign all this stuff, making sure everything's in order. And somewhere in that stack of papers, there's this thing about arbitration. And you just kind of sign it without really, thinking too much about it. But does that signature mean, like, automatically that she's giving up the right to sue if, God forbid, something goes wrong with her care? It's a kind of a heavy thought, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit unsettling when you really stop and think about it.
Right.
And this whole idea, the scenario you just described, it's at the center of what we're diving into today. We're going to be talking about agency law and how it plays out with these arbitration agreements. Especially, we're going to zero in on what happens when this pops up in nursing home admissions.
Exactly. And we're going to be using a really fascinating case to kind of guide our discussion today. It's called Korachich v. Beverly Enterprises, Nebraska.
Yeah, this one's from 2009 and went all the way up to the Nebraska Supreme Court. And, on the surface, it seems like a simple question. When can one person legally waive another person's right to sue? But as you dig into it, it gets pretty complex.
Oh, absolutely. There are so many layers here. So today we're going to unpack some of the key legal principles that are highlighted in this Korachich case. And I think what's really important for our listeners is to understand why this case matters. I mean, we're not all lawyers, but we all have loved ones. We all might find ourselves having to make tough healthcare decisions for family members. So knowing how the law works in these situations, well, that can be a real game changer. And honestly, I think there are some real aha moments coming up. We're going to learn a lot about who really has the power to make those big choices when it comes to healthcare.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there. So to get us started, why don't we introduce the main players in this story?
Okay, so we start with Manda Baker.
Manda was an elderly immigrant, and back in 2005, she needed to move into a nursing home called Beverly Hallmark.
And I understand English wasn't her first language.
That's right. And that's where her son, Frank Korachich, comes into the picture.
Okay.
He was the one who took charge of handling all those, admission documents, the paperwork that comes with getting someone settled into a nursing home.
Okay, so Frank's helping his mom navigate this whole process.
Exactly. But here's a crucial detail to remember. Frank had been assisting Manda with various medical forms, over the years, since 1998. So he'd have been doing this kind of thing for her for a while, but, and this is a huge but, he did not have power of attorney.
Oh, okay. So he didn't have that formal legal authority to make decisions on her behalf.
Nope. Not in a broad sense. That designation wasn't in place.
Got it.
So Frank is there working through this stack of papers, trying to help his mom get admitted. And somewhere in that pile of documents, there's an arbitration agreement.
Okay.
But it wasn't like some sneaky clause hidden deep in a re required form or anything. It was very clearly marked as optional. It even said straight out that signing it wasn't a condition for Manda to be admitted to the nursing home.
That's a pretty important detail, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. That it was optional is a huge point. It tells us right away that signing this agreement wasn't absolutely necessary for Manda to receive care at Beverly Hallmark. So time goes by, and unfortunately, Manda passes away. And following her death, her son, Frank, files a lawsuit against the nursing home.
And what were the allegations in that lawsuit?
The suit claimed that Beverly Hallmark had been negligent in their care of Manda.
I see. So that's when things get really interesting,
Oh,
right?
yeah, because this is where Beverly Hallmark makes their move. They counter by arguing that Frank's signature on that optional arbitration agreement means the lawsuit can't go to court.
What? Even though Amanda wasn't the one who signed it.
Well, that's what they were arguing. They insisted that the whole dispute had to be settled through arbitration instead. And get this, the initial trial court actually agreed with the nursing home and dismissed Frank's case.
Wow, so the trial court sided with Beverly Hallmark based on that signature alone.
Yeah, that's how it went down initially, which unsurprisingly led Frank to appeal the decision.
Of course.
He takes it to the Nebraska Supreme Court, and his argument is pretty straightforward. He says, "Look, I didn't have the legal authority to waive my mother's rights. She has the right to have her case heard in court, and I couldn't take that away from her." So the Nebraska Supreme Court ends up having to grapple with this pretty tricky legal question. It's all about agency law.
And agency law, for those of us who aren't lawyers, that's all about when one person can act on behalf of another, right?
Exactly. The big question here is whether Frank was actually acting as Manda's agent legally speaking, with the power to make this decision about arbitration for her. So the court really dives into this whole concept of agency, and they focus on two main types of authority that could apply here.
Okay, so let's break those down. What's the first type of authority?
The first one is called actual authority. It's pretty simple, really. It means that the principal, in this case, that would be Manda, gave the agent, Frank, clear permission to do a specific thing.
So in this situation, it would mean Manda explicitly telling Frank, hey, you can sign this arbitration agreement for me.
Exactly. Like a direct instruction, no ambiguity.
But that didn't happen here.
No, it didn't. The court looked at everything very carefully, and they concluded that while Manda had definitely given Frank the okay to handle the standard admission paperwork, things like her medical history, her contact information, you know, the usual forms you fill out when someone enters a facility.
Right.
This arbitration agreement was different. It wasn't part of that routine admission process.
Because I guess it wasn't directly about getting her care, right? And it involved her giving up a pretty big right.
You got it. The court made a clear distinction, saying that the arbitration agreement wasn't just another administrative form. It was a waiver of Manda's right to a jury trial. And the court saw that as a separate issue, a much bigger deal than just filling out those standard admission forms. In fact, the court was pretty strong in their wording. They said that the trial judge's finding that Frank had actual authority to sign the arbitration agreement was clearly erroneous.
Clearly erroneous. That's some pretty serious language, isn't it?
Yeah, it really shows you how strongly the court felt on this point. So the court has determined that Frank didn't have actual authority to sign on his mom's behalf. What about the second type of authority you mentioned?
Right, you said there were two main types. What was that second one?
So the second type is called apparent authority. This one's a little trickier. It kicks in when the principal's actions make a third party think that the agent has authority, even if the principal didn't actually give them that power.
Okay, so in this case, that would mean that Manda did something that made the nursing home, Beverly Hallmark, think that Frank was allowed to sign that arbitration agreement for her.
Exactly. The focus shifts to what the third party reasonably believed based on what the principal did or said.
So did Manda do anything that would lead Beverly Hallmark to believe that Frank could sign that agreement for her?
Well, that's what the court had to figure out. And they ultimately decided that no, Manda hadn't done anything to give that impression. The fact that Frank had helped her with medical forms before and that he was there handling the admission paperwork, that wasn't enough to say that he had the authority to waive her right to a trial.
So even though he was signing other papers, the nursing home couldn't just assume he was good to go on this arbitration thing too.
Nope. The court said that apparent authority has to come from the principal's actions. It can't just be based on what the agent does.
So Beverly Hallmark had a duty to double check, to make sure Frank actually had the authority to sign such a big legal document on his mom's behalf.
Exactly. They couldn't just rely on him being there and signing other stuff.
All right. So we've talked about actual authority and apparent authority, and the court said neither of those existed in this case. So what did the Nebraska Supreme Court ultimately decide?
They overturned the trial court's ruling.
Meaning?
They said that the arbitration agreement was invalid and unenforceable because Frank didn't have the authority to sign it on his mother's behalf.
So Frank's lawsuit against Beverly Hallmark could move forward.
That's right. He could continue to pursue his negligence claim in court.
And what was the court's main reason for this decision? What's the big takeaway here?
The main idea is that waiving fundamental rights requires explicit consent. Just because someone is helping with, say, medical paperwork doesn't automatically mean they can also sign away someone's right to go to court. Those are two separate things. Giving up a right like that is a huge decision, and it needs very clear authorization.
And you mentioned earlier that one of the justices had a really great quote that summed this up. What was it again?
Yeah, Justice Connolly said, "You can't assume someone's power to sign medical forms includes power to surrender their legal rights."
That's a good one. It really gets to the heart of the issue.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
It emphasizes that you can't just lump all these different types of authority together.
Yeah.
They're distinct and they matter.
This decision has implications that go beyond this one case, though, right? What does it mean for nursing homes and other facilities like that?
It sends a really strong message. It tells them that they can't just assume that a family member who's helping with admission paperwork also has the power to agree to arbitration, especially when it's optional.
So they need to be very careful about getting consent for things like that.
Absolutely. They have to be extra diligent in these situations. Mm-hmm. It's not just about nursing homes, though. The key takeaway is that giving someone the okay to make one kind of decision doesn't mean they're automatically in charge of everything, especially when we're talking about big, important rights. You got to be super clear about what authority you're giving and what authority you're getting.
And what about people who are in Frank's position, you know, helping their loved ones with healthcare decisions and paperwork? What's the big lesson here for them?
It's crucial to know what you're allowed to do and what you're not. Even if you're helping with paperwork and making some decisions, that doesn't automatically give you the legal right to sign away someone's fundamental rights. Signing routine forms doesn't mean you suddenly have free rein to make any decision on their behalf. Think of it like this, right? If you're helping someone by picking up their groceries, that doesn't give you the power to sell their car. It's not the same thing. Authority is specific, especially for those big life-altering choices. You have to make sure everyone's on the same page. Don't just assume you know what's best. Really understand what you're signing and what it means.
So let's quickly go over the big agency law points that we've learned from this Korachit case.
Sure. So first, always pay attention to the specific authority that someone has. What exactly did the principal ask them to do, and did they agree to it? Second, remember that you need clear consent when it comes to waiving important rights. Don't just guess, because making the wrong assumption there can have serious legal consequences. And third, keep in mind that a third party's belief in an agent's authority has to be based on what the principal did or said, not just on what the agent is doing on their own.
So what we've learned today from this Korachit v. Beverly Enterprises Nebraska case is that understanding agency law is super important, especially in healthcare.
Yes.
We can't just assume that people have the authority to make decisions for others. We have to be really clear about who has the power to do what.
Absolutely. And, you know, this whole discussion brings up an interesting point. Think about other situations in your own life where you might be signing for someone else or making choices on their behalf. Maybe you're dealing with a child's school forms or helping another family member with finances or even making decisions in a work setting. What assumptions are people making about how much power you have and what could happen legally if those assumptions are wrong? This stuff is everywhere, and it's important to be aware of it.
This is why agency law is so important. It's not just about this one nursing home case. It's about understanding the complexities of how we represent each other and what that really means.
It's a great place to start thinking about legal responsibility in our lives.
Exactly.
And all the ways it shows up.
Well, this has been a really enlightening deep dive.
I agree. It's been a great discussion.
Until next time.
See you then.